Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callan. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of the sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are grateful to be here one more day in the land of the living. The Lord has show favor on us today to give us another opportunity to praise him, to exalt his name, to get things right that we didn't get right on yesterday. And we are so happy and we are so elated that he has chosen us to be here today. We are excited this morning because Minister Andir, she just got back from her trip with her daughter, giving her daughter a vacation on her for her birthday, and she got a strong word to bring to us today, and we are looking forward to it as she's released what thus says the Lord. So let us pray, and then we'll go into worship. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty, everlasting Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for your omnipotent presence, for your omnipresent, for your omniscient presence. Lord, we thank you for just being God, the God of our salvation, the one who order our steps, the one who watches over us night and day. Lord, the one who keeps us in the midst of this darkened world is the light to our life, O God, the one who is the keeper of our soul. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you will do in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we just praise you right now. We just praise you and we honor you right now. Lord, have your way. Have your way, Jesus. And speak to this woman of God today as she yield her tongue and her eyes and her ears and lips to you today, God. God, let not any hindering spirits hinder her from doing what this says the Lord, Father, but give her utterance today from heaven. In Jesus' holy name, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. We want to go into worship right now in Jesus' holy name. We want to go into worship. The Lord say the same. Let's go into worship. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus.
Here, my God, to
Thank you. So much grace, how you The oppressed When I received this topic and I meditated on it, the words that stood out to me was man suffer because they don't accept. And I can recall many times that God has called me to do something and to start it, but because, you know, I am not listening, because I want to move on my own accord, because I want to move before God, I move ahead. And my suffering, my sadness, sometimes loneliness, is so excruciating. It's a lot to bear because I didn't ask God, because I didn't obey God, because I didn't follow the will, the orders, the command that he has spoken, or the command and the instruction that was given to me. So I experienced many of these pain because, again, I didn't move when God said to move. I didn't wait when God said to wait. I didn't remain silent when God instructed me to do so. Our God, our loving Father, always have our best interests at heart. And he knows the beginning from the end. Anytime we don't follow what God asks us to do, we go through so much turmoil and we feel it. We feel the suffering, we feel the pain. But that's not to say that when we're doing God's will, we won't feel pressure. But even when we're going through a storm, even when we're going through a trial, he will be there to comfort us. We will feel peace within that situation, or we will feel a stillness, his presence there with us as we stand to endure in the mighty name of Jesus. Man suffering is evident through the entire Bible, from the beginning of time to the ending of time. God has showed us from day one that if we don't listen, there are situations, there are ramifications, there's things that will happen. But also when we do listen, there's praises, there's glory, there's things that we will be rewarded with. In the book of Genesis, God's will was to have us, have man live in the Garden of Eden that he had created to take care and be free. To take care of that garden and be free. God paints us a pretty picture of the beautiful garden, the beautiful life that he wants for us. But because of our own ways of going forward, of not obeying what God did, God asked us to do, we were taken out of it. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 11, it says, Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he is walking in the garden and in the cool of the day. And they hid from him, the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Verses 9 to 10, but the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" See, God always gives us a command. Whenever there's a situation that is going on in our life, something that we're going through, a battle or whatever it is, we pray to God, we seek God's face, and he gives us guidelines. He tells us what we're supposed to do. He shows it to us. He allows someone to come and speak into our lives so that we understand. They've been many times God has commanded us not to do something or go somewhere, and we go against his will because we are human. And as always, we feel we know best, and we want it to happen right away. We want the praise. We want the outcome. We want the blessing. We want the victory right away. But God says it's awaited. It's a processing. It's completed. Things are done. It's final. But I just don't need you to do this at this moment. I need you to keep within my will. I need you to keep within my command. I need you to keep within my orders. Because if we go before God, we disrupt what he already has set forth. And because he knows the beginning from the end, we can't see what is before us. We can't see the dangers of different things that is against us. No matter what we are called to do, God has already ordered out those steps. So we have to follow. And that's why it's so important for us to constantly seek God's face. God, what is your will for me today? What is your will for me, Father God, when I leave this house? How do you want me to move? How do you want me to advance forward? Because everything that we do is to the glory of God. Everything that we do will give God glory. It will give him the most excitement and happiness when we follow and stick to it. Because why? We receive that joy. We receive that blessing. And his will is going forth. People are understanding who he is by the things that we're doing. Let's look at man's response in verse 12 to 13. Look how Adam responded. And many times we are in this boat because we don't take accountability. So therefore, the situations that we go through become intensified. We don't get the victory. We don't get the redemption that we need right away. The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." You know, when I read these verses, it was just so adamant. It was so clear. God gave Adam instructions. He gave him a command. Enjoy everything in this garden, whatever it is, but don't eat from that tree. Eve came and she received the same instruction Adam told her. But at the same time,
when she brought it to him, he ate it knowing he's not supposed to do it. Many times we are taken or we end up at places we know we don't belong. But yet we go ahead and we do the things we know we're not supposed to do. And like Adam, he became blameful. He blamed God. It is not my responsibility. I can't take blame, God, because of what the woman did. It's your fault because you created her. So therefore, it's your fault that I end up sinning. It's your fault that I fell short. When it comes to God and accepting his will, we have to take accountability, saying that, God, this is the way you're leading me, and Father God, I will follow you. Not, God, I know you're asking me to do this, but someone told me they had a better way, so I followed their way. No, that's not the way we are supposed to follow, because if we don't, again, there's ramification. We have a Father that is just. We have a God that knows all, and he believes in right, not wrong. So therefore, when we don't do the things we ask him to do, there's repercussions. In these verses, I see the habits of many of us at one time or the other. And sometimes even now as we speak, because we're all there. We've been there. We've done it. And sometimes we redo. We begin to blame God for our mistakes and the suffering and the pain we endure. We say, God, it's because of you why I am here and going through. God, it's because of you why I am sick and I have no healing. God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Even with this corona that we have faced, why would God let this happen? All storms, within every situation we go through, there's always a solution and there's always protection when you trust and depend on the Lord. We don't have to suffer with pains and ache. But we have to go through the fire. And God says, when you trust in me, it will not consume you. We go through the water, he says, it will not, you will not drown. Go through the fire, you will not get burned. Adam blamed God and Eve. Eve blamed the serpent, but none of them accepted and took accountability, took the responsibility for going against the will, going against the command and the instructions that God had gave them. When we move against God's order, they are always a punishment that will come down. There's always a reprimanding that is handed out. That has to go forth to set things back in order, to lead us back to his will so that we can see our faults, accept our faults, and move forward with the help of God. Because if we cannot see where we have fallen short, if we cannot see where we have went wrong, then we will not humble ourselves to God. We will not bow down to God. We will not come and seek God and ask God for forgiveness. And therefore, we will be stuck. His will for us to advance forward in the kingdom will not happen. And that's not what he wants. In verses 16 through 19, God said, to the woman, he said, I will make your pain in childbearing very severe, with painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desires will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listen to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Curse is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistle for you, and you will eat plants of the field. But the sweat of by the sweat of your brows, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. From dust you were, and to dust you will return. Even the serpent, we know that God punished him. We know that God brought him down low, and that's where he remains, in the dirt. But there's always a punishment that goes forth. And even to today's date, this is something that happened from the beginning of time, from years, thousands of years before. But here it is, us women, we know it very well. And husbands, you know, that their wives have had children, your sisters, your aunts have had a child. We understand the labor pains. We understand when we have our menstrual, or when we're going through to give birth to a child, that pain is severe because of what happened years, thousands of years ago. To this date, instead of having the life that God gave us, following his will, following his command, in the Garden of Eden, man, human, all of us, we have to constantly work hard to survive. Some of us work harder than others to survive. I've been in places where I've seen poverty, and I've seen the hustle of people, hustle of children, even the children. They work hard labor for little to none of payment of money, because our forefathers did not obey the will of God. And today, many of us keep going through that same back and forth situation. Amen. Let's take a look. Let's move forward and take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 2. Verses 2 to 3 says, "This is what the Lord Almighty say. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belong to them. Do not spare them. Put them to death. Men, women, children and infant, cattle and sheep, camels and donkey." Now this instruction was given to King Saul. He was anointed, and God sent him on a mission. You know, many times I read this portion of the Bible that led up to King David, you know, becoming king, and I look and zone in and meditate on what King Saul did. He was blessed. God had equipped him. God has given him to be ruler over the Israelites, but because of his own selfish gain, because he chose not to listen, because he became fearful of his own army men, because he wanted to do what he wanted to do and how he believed God would accept it, not knowing that God's order stands no matter what, he lost everything. It was so detrimental that because this anointing was stripped from him, he lost his life. He's lost his family. He lost his son. He lost everything because he chose to move outside of the will of God. He chose not to keep his orders. He chose not to be obedient to what God is asking. So in verse 7 and 9, it says, "Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah, Sir, near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people. He totally destroyed, and all his people totally destroyed with the sword." What is this here? But Saul and the army spared Agag, and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat and the calves and the lamb, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. What Saul did, he chose to do his own will. He chose to not follow completely the will of God. He chose to keep what he thought was good, what he thought was pleasing unto God. for him to bring forth to God. But God gave him a clear instruction to destroy everything, man and woman, child and infant, cattle and sheep, camels and donkey. Don't leave anything alive. Saul said, although, verses 17 and 18, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of these tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely, that is the word, go and completely, go fully into battle. Go forward and do what I have called you to do. Go forward and speak on my behalf. Go forward and let others know who I am. Go forward and keep your hands away from evil. God always gives us clear and complete instructions. He always lets us know what his will, what his command is in the purpose, in the moment, in the situation that we're about to face or we're going through. I want you to completely remain silent. Don't utter a word. Don't say anything. Walk forth boldly. He said, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? Verse 20 says, but I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Saul missed the point. God says completely, and even though Samuel is telling him you didn't completely do as the Lord has asked, he still can't see it. His eyes and ears were shut. Many times we become argumentative when others are trying to instruct us to follow through an order that God has given. I see this for your life. I see that for your life. And I've shared this many times where before I met my husband, the person I thought was my husband, you know, I prayed and God clearly in my bowing down before him, he said, he's not your husband. And I said, God, no, you can fix this. You're the God of everything. I know you can change this situation. And he said, he's not your husband. I couldn't see it. I couldn't hear it because I wanted what I wanted. I wanted what my flesh wanted. I wanted what I thought my heart desire was and what God can do. I know the Bible says he can do all things. So I'm like, God, you can do this too. God even allowed Apostle to come to me and said, that person is not your husband. And I said, Apostle, you're wrong because that's not what God said to me. But because I was blinded, I couldn't hear. Because I was wrapped up in only myself and what I thought was right for me. I couldn't understand the will that God had for my life. The places that God wanted to take me spiritually. Not just physically, but a spiritual place that God wanted me to be. He wanted me to be in a place where he can change me and he had full control of me to complete his will. God's will is perfect, and God's will is not only perfect for the kingdom, but it's perfect for our life. And because I chose to do what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, I suffered many. I didn't physically suffer, but my heart ached. I was sad. I was lonely. I was asking God, why? Why would this happen? Until I got it. Until I kept kneeling before him and asking him for forgiveness. Until I apologized and said, God, I'm so sorry. I did not listen to you. Because I got to a place of repentance that I could go to God and ask him to forgive me genuinely from my heart. Many times we go through and we struggle and we wrestle because, and we're feeling all the pain because we did not listen to the instruction. We bypass an important part of the instruction. If we are at that place, it's important to go back before the Lord, get in his presence and ask him, I need you to speak to me again. I missed it. Bring to my recollection, bring to my memory, put it in my spirit what you said. Recall it so I can hear it and make correction. Please forgive me. And when I got to that place, God opened a blessing that I'm still reaping and still so joyful about. It's amazing. Sometimes it baffles me the amount of joy that I'm receiving at this point in my life. But I thank God for it. And I thank God for allowing me to become obedient, to listen. And if he says no, then it's no, it's final. He has the final say. He has the final word concerning our life. Verse 23 says, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in the obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and heed is better than sack of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. See right there, this was the result of Saul's disobedience. But instead of Saul humbling himself, bowing down and saying, forgive me, Lord, I have sinned. Forgive me, Father God, for what I have done. I did sin. I'm so sorry. He did it. He found blame. He cast blame. He said, oh, it happened because I was afraid of the men and they wanted to do this, but we did it for a good reason. We brought back the king, you know, to do a sacrifice to God. We brought back the best of everything. The cattle, the lambs, you know, the rams. We brought back the best for God. God wants us to do our best in completing his will. God doesn't need us to give him anything tangible of this earth because he owns it all. He owns everything from the heavens to the earth and below. He owns everything, so we don't have to take any offering, take any sacrifices and say, God, I'm doing this. All we have to do is be obedient to the will of God. Follow him, love him, keep our lips, keep our ears from doing evil, our hands from doing evil, and follow his word. Focus on him, keep our hearts in him. Follow him in spirit and in truth. And when we do that, God will show us the next move. He will show us the next step. He will lead us on to the victory that he has already won. Our victory that we're going for is not our victory that we have to create, that we have to wrestle through and make. Our victory that we're going for is already victorious. It's already won. The battle has been finished. We just have to be obedient. To jump across the different stuff, to swim across the different barriers, to climb certain mountains until we reach what has already been given unto us. Let's move forward and take a look at Jonah, the prophet, who at first refused to accept the calling and the will of God for him to go and preach against the wickedness of the city of Nineveh. You know, when I received this scripture, I was like, Jonah and the whale? I was like, okay, God. And as I read those verses, chapters, I said, okay, God, I see it. I see where you gave him instruction. I saw that he ran and refused to accept it. And I saw the ramification of what happened until he prayed out, until he bowed out. Jonah tried to avoid doing what God asked, and the Lord had a whale swallow him. It says a fish, but a whale swallow him and keep him in the belly for 3 days and three nights. So Jonah he ran. Let me pull this up in my Bible. I'll be reading from Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, the NIV. Let me get it in my scriptures. It says here, I'll start from verses 3, from what the Lord asked him. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. We cannot run from God. We could say, God, I'm not going to accept your will, but the pain and the suffering that we go through from not doing what God asks us is much. It's better to just say, okay, God, I accept. If the task seems too much or too hard, God, how do you expect me to accomplish this? Open my eyes. Show me. Let me know what it is that you want me to do. I pray this prayer to God every single day. Open my eyes so I can see clearly. Open my ears so I can hear clearly. Father God, give me the confidence. Father God, give me the boldness. You know, give me what is necessary to fulfill your will. We have to ask God for the things that we want. And it's not just asking for things that we need to survive, tangible things, because the Bible already told us that he will provide all of our needs. But to fulfill his will, we need the Lord's help. To complete a task that God sends us on, we need his help. We need helpers. We need God to show us how to move. We need God to show us where to stand, where to go, how to listen. So let me continue. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm across the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to their own God, and they threw the cargo into the ship. Its cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. This verse 5 was very eye-opening to me. You know, there was many different people. That's what I'm envisioning on this ship. So they each cried out to their own God. But we know that there's only one true and living God. But Jonah had gone below deck where he laid down and fell into a deep sleep. He had no care in the world. He's running from God and he's trying to hide. So he went all the way down to the bottom to try to run away from God. You know, God can see through all. You know, I always let people know that. If God could see our inner hearts and our inner minds, he could see in the dark. See when we're in the bathroom hiding and doing things we're not supposed to do. He could see when we're in our bedrooms. No matter where we choose to lay, we cannot hide from God. He is able to see it. Why? Because he's able to see our hearts. He's able to see our thoughts. So before we act out and do something, he already know we're planning on doing it. So it's not a physical fight. God has a deep connection with us that whatever we feel, whatever we think, whatever we're thinking about before we can even process it, he knows it. He knows the beginning and the end. He created us from within our mother's womb. He placed us where we are. So when we are birthed forth, no matter where you are in this world, in the country, this is the place that God sent us to. But guess what? We're needed there because there's a task for his will to come forth. There's something that we are to do in that area. There's something that needs to come out of us that he has placed there. And it will be done. You can't hide. It says here, then the captain went down and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. Sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. What did we do? What did that person do? Someone may have done something while we're going through this problem. They cast lots, and lot fell on Jonah. As they asked him, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? Like what tribe? Let me understand. Let me continue. And he answers, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Verse 10 says, this terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? But they knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had also, he had already told them so. That part stands out. They became terrified because they know who God is. And like I always say that, no matter where we are in our life, who we are, who we choose to follow, who we choose to serve, we make our own choice. God gave us free will to choose. So if we choose to be an atheist, if we choose to be a Buddhist, if we choose to be whatever it is, it's the choice that we make. But we all know who God is. So when others say, oh, I don't believe in God, you know, I believe in evolution. I believe in the Big Bang Theory. You know, we're all making that choice, but we have to know who God is. And this is evident. They were terrified. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? Because they know of the power. They know of the power of the one because of all that had transpired prior in Egypt, being taken out in the city of Canaan. You know, they know the fierceness of God. It says here, the sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Jonah said, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew wilder than before. They cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Even as they had their own gods, they still had to pray to our Father. They still had to pray to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They still had to pray because why? They believe and they know of his power. They have seen and witnessed it. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you please. At this point, Jonah was cast over. And I could go through the verse 2 and read his prayers, but I'm not going to go through the whole prayer. But basically, Jonah prayed while he was in the belly of that whale for 3 days and 3 nights. He cried out to the Lord. He felt his life was at an end because he didn't obey. But Jonah prayed and said to the Lord that he will honor the Lord in doing what God has called him to do. And the Lord commanded the fish to vomit Jonah to dry land. So when Jonah admitted and accepted the will of God and spoke of what he has done wrong and said, God, forgive me, God forgave him, and God allowed that whale to vomit him out. God allowed that whale to bring him up to dry land. Many times we're going through a storm, and we don't understand why everything is turning and twirling around us. We don't understand why there's so much pain and aches in our bodies, and everything seems to be out of order. But the best thing at that point of time, it's not to start blaming God. God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening? Why are you allowing this to happen? It's Father God, I know this is happening, but whatever your will is, whatever is going to come out of this, whatever victory is going to be seen, I know it has already been won. Whatever struggle I'm going through, Father God, I know that you have lifted me up. I know that you will put me on dry ground. I know that you will walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death. Therefore, we should not fear no evil. We should fear the Lord in not doing his will. Psalms 34, verses 5 says, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. No matter what our situation seems like, no matter what we're going through, what we are lacking, look at the corona situation that we're having, this whole pandemic that started almost 2 years ago. I could hardly believe it's 2 years. I haven't seen my coworkers physically in 2 years. But God has been keeping us because he gave us a way out. He gave us a way to protect ourselves. He gave knowledge to those to create the vaccine. God provides all that we need. But sometimes we just have to go through the motions so that others can see the glory of God, so that others can understand the power of God. We just need to keep calling on the Lord's name. We need to keep calling and crying out to him for guidance. We need to call him and cry out for him for movement. We need to call him and cry out for him for the advancement of his will in our life, so that we could continue to live in that joyous, painless, peaceful life that he has created for us. We have to seek God's will and ask him to help us with the advancement for his kingdom. It is for God's glory, not man's glory. It is not for our selfish gain that we are advancing. It's for the glory of God, so that his kingdom will grow, so that others will know who he is, and others will come to the Lord and give their life and receive the salvation to be called children, to be called sons and daughters of our Lord, of the King. The Bible also teaches us about many who accepted and obeyed God's command. The Bible shows us about those who did not and the ramification that occurred and the movement within his will, and others who did not suffer because of their own selfish gain. One other reading that I have here is King David. So I read a couple of chapters ago about King Saul, and King Saul's throne was torn from him. God ripped it from him because of his disobedience and because of his selfishness. And God gave it. He anointed King David. King David found so many favors in the sight of the Lord because for the most part, he obeyed and kept the will and commands of the Lord. But even when King David sinned and went against the commands and deviated from the will of God, King David always, when we read the Bible, he speaks of it. He's always before the Lord. He's always bowing down. He's always crying out and asking God for forgiveness. He accepts his fault. He takes accountability and he asks God for forgiveness. He never blamed God for his wrong. King David never blamed God because he understands, I'm the one that sinned against the Lord. King David has known God since he was a youth. He has served the Lord. When he was a shepherd, you know, he has been in the presence of God. So he understands the power of God. Many of us, we're still learning God. But when we read, that's why the Bible's here. Read it, study it, meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it, understand it, get it into our system so we could continue to walk upright before the Lord. So that when God calls us to do something, when he gives us a task, we can say, okay, God, how do you want me to move? How do you want me to open this business? How do you want me to go for it? How is it going to bring glory to you, Father God? The things that God gives us to do always bring glory. It's set up to help others. It's set up to bring awareness. It is always a blessing. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 23. In these early verses, the Lord sent Nathan to rebuke David for the wrong he did. And I'm not going to read every single thing. Nathan spoke of a rich man, I'm just going to paraphrase briefly, a rich man who had everything and a poor man who had nothing but one lamb he had bought. This lamb, he nurtured it, he took care of it, he did everything. Then the rich man had someone that came to his house, and he took the one lamb from the poor man. And in these verses, it's stated that David burned with anger against the man. As Nathan is telling him the story, he got angry. And he said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for the lamb four times over. In verse 7, it says, then Nathan said to David, you are that man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you and your master's wife in your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Verse 9 says, why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his sight? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Amittites. In these verses, when you read the story, it's like, wow, you know, king, you're the king. You have anything. You could have anyone, but yet you're coveted. Yet you're lusted over this one man's wife. And you did the most unthinkable thing. You slept with his wife, so you committed adultery. You broke the commands of the law, the Lord, and then you commit murder. King David suffered. King David went through hardship because of his action. He went through pain and suffering. Many times, God bless each and every one of us, and we have to be careful to be grateful for what God has given us. I am always grateful for what I have, and I praise God and I thank God that I don't red eye. And when I say red eye, I mean I don't look at what other people have and want it. I don't look at other people's anointed and say, oh, I want to be like that. I don't look at other things that people have and covet over it. When we do that, we start sinning against God, and we put ourselves into a binding situation that now we are not thinking clearly. We're just thinking of how we can get what we want, how we want exactly what that person wants. Oh, I have many people who be like, oh, girl, I see you have this. I want that. I want this. That's not how we're supposed to be. If something is supposed to be ours, if we're supposed to receive a blessing, if we're supposed to receive this, it will be for us. And I know you guys have heard me say this many times. In churches that I've been in, you know, I've always hear someone giving their testimony on, you know, what God has done for them. And I always hear people say, oh, I tap on it. I second it. You know, I tap on that. And, you know, one thing I never did was do that, because I don't know the process and the journey that it took an individual to receive their healing, to receive their husband's or wife, to receive their house, to receive whatever it is that they're testifying about. I don't want to tap off of their blessing. I want an outpour to come directly from God to me. I want what God has to be mine and mine alone. I praise God for what God has done in their lives, and I glorify and I celebrate God for the blessing that he has poured out into their life. And that is the thing here. David wanted what was not his, but therefore he sinned against God. He sinned against God, knowing that he was in the perfect position. God said, even if you wanted more than what I've already given you, I would allow it to happen. I would have given it to you. So let me continue reading verses 11 to 23. And I'm going to read from the NLT. Give me one second. So Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 11 to 23. Verses 11 says, this is what the Lord says. Because of what you have done, now this is what Nathan is telling him, because of what you have done, so Nathan now is the one issuing the punishment for him, for King David, And in the beginning, it was Samuel issuing the punishment for Saul. But this is what happened. He says, this is what the Lord says. Because of what you have done, I will cause your own house to rebel against you. I will give your wife to another man because before your very eyes, and he will go to bed with them in public view. You did it secretly, but I will make this happen to you openly in the sight of all Israel. So that part, again, we cannot hide from God. Everything we choose to do, whether it's in the dark, whether it's in dim light, whether it's in the basement, no matter where we are, God sees everything. You know, so Jonah ran from God from accepting the will of God and doing what God called him to do by going in the bottom of the ocean, of the ship on the ocean. God owns everything, and he still found him. No matter where we are, God will find us. No matter where we are, we cannot outrun God. We cannot outrun blessing, and we definitely can't outrun punishment. So it says, you secretly, but I will make this happen to you openly in the sight of all Israel. Then David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, yes, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin. Nevertheless, because you have shown utter contempt for the word of the Lord, by doing this, your child will die. So the child that was conceived between him and Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, God took that child. That child was created in sin. That child was created against the will of God. Because he accepted his fault. God forgave him. Because he said, God, yes, I did what was wrong. Forgive me. God forgave me. Are you okay?
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. God forgave him. By doing this, your child will die. After Nathan returned to his home, the Lord sent a deadly illness. So it doesn't take years for punishment to go out. The moment we sin against God and we do something wrong, if we're not asking God for forgiveness, it will come. It will come if we're not repenting genuinely from our heart. God sees and he knows that. Illness to the child of David and Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. David begged God to spare the child. He went without food and laid all night on the bare ground. The elders of his household plead with him to get up and eat with them, but he refused. Then on the seventh day, the child died. So David felt like, okay, God, I know you're going to punish me, but God, you know, we've seen this in the Bible where David has done many wrongs, and God says, what do you want? I will issue out a punishment. I will give you three choices. Which one will you choose? And he chose for God to punish him. Anyways, that's another story. So it says, then on the seventh day, the child died. David's advisors were afraid to tell him. He wouldn't listen to reason while the child was ill, they said. What drastic thing will he do when we tell him the child is dead? When David saw them whispering, he realized what had happened. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied. He is dead. Then David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on lotion. No, lotion means he anointed himself and changed his clothes. He went to the temple and worshiped the Lord. One thing I appreciate about David, and I thank God each and every single day, whenever I'm feeling, you know, down, God, even in the book of Sam, have so much to give It has prayers, genuine prayers. It has the suffering, but it has the worship of David. That even when he's going through a problem, he will still worship the Lord. He will still go before the Lord. He will still dance before the Lord. He will praise God through his suffering. God has given us all that we need to help us through, to get through his will, help us from point A to point Z. He went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. After that, he returned to the palace and was served food and ate. His advisors, verse 21 says, were amazed. "We don't understand," they told him. "While the child was still living, you wept and refused to eat. But now that the child is dead, you have stopped your mourning and are eaten again." David replied, "I fasted and wept while the child was alive, for I said, perhaps the Lord will be gracious to me and let the child live. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me." I think that was so powerful as I read that. I said, wow, God. You know, yes, there's times we're going through and we're fasting and we're praying and whatever, but when it's issued out, when the solution or whatever we're praying and fasting for, it has come to an end, whatever the solution is, whatever the result is, that's the word I was looking for, whatever it mounts up to be, we just get up. And we keep moving and we thank God. If we're praying and fasting for a house, and you know, we know at the end of the 6 months, God, I'm praying that at the end of the 6 months, Lord, I will have a house. You know, at the end of the 6 months, Lord, I will have a better job. And after, you know, we're done doing that, after the end of the fast, they were fasting for 7 days, for 40 days, and we're asking God in 6 months to do it. When that time comes, if it's not done, we don't just start falling out and try to make it happen. We praise God, we give him glory, and we say thank you. Because we don't know the reason why. Like David said, he's gone. Why should I continue mourning? Why should I continue remaining sad? Why should I continue weeping? I am now going to go and praise God. I'm going to give glory to God. I'm going to thank God, and I'm going to move forward. And what did he do after all this? When he was done, he went and laid with his wife Bathsheba. He went and laid with her, and they conceived Solomon. And we see the blessings of Solomon. We see how God gave him something even better. Whatever the situation is that we're going through, don't look at what we don't have. Look to God and what God has and what he's able to do and what he's done in the past and what we know he's done in our lives before. And trust him that there's better ahead. There's a reason doors are still closed. There's a reason things are still held back. God will open floodgates. But if you're standing in the way of the water, if he opened that gate, it will consume you. It will take you down. Ask God, how do I move forward so that your blessings pour out? That the things you have for me to do in your kingdom that will benefit my life in this world as I move forward, how do we activate it? How do I allow, how do we trust you? What do I do, Father God, to allow that to come forth? And God would give us step by step. Keep doing this. Keep doing that. Keep doing this. Keep asking God for forgiveness. Keep asking God for provision. Keep asking God to let the words become life. Keep asking God to all over our eyes to open. The word is alive already. But we have to allow this to become life in our life. We have to accept that living word so that it could come forth, so that we could speak it with boldness and spirit and truth, so that we could speak it and believe it, not just reading the words of the scriptures and not understanding the depths of it behind it. Not just reading the words and speaking it, but it has no power because we're still dead on the inside. We still don't have that relationship with God. We still are lacking something. We go to God and we ask God to revive us so that the things that he has already placed forth His will that he has already outlined, we can fulfill it. We can move towards it. Psalm 119, verses 35 to 40, it says, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees." I love the chapter, the book of Psalm 119. There's so much within that chapter. It's a long chapter, like 180 or maybe 70-something verses. Different section, each section has something that you could use in your life, that you could use to pray about. Psalm 119, 35 to 40 says, and I'm reading it from the NIV, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart." Not just keep it, but obey it. We don't want to just know God's word. We don't want to just understand God's will and not obey what he's asking us to do, not be able to go forth and do what he is calling us to do. We want to understand it, we want to keep it, and we want to obey it with all our heart. "Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight." When we are doing the things of God, we will not find suffering. We will not find pain. We'll find pressure. We'll find yin-yang. We'll find naysayers. We'll find all these stuff. But in the midst of it all, we will be joyful. In the midst of it all, we'll see light. In the midst of it all, we will have a radiant smile on our face because we know the Lord will not put us to shame. "For there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your status and not toward selfish gain." Turn not towards selfish gain. We are not doing the will of God. We're not preaching the word. We're not ministering the word. We're not singing praise and worship song. We're not going for it because we want people to glorify us. We want people to pour into us. We want people to give to us. No, we're doing it because we know the Lord has given us. We know that the glory and the joy and victory is to be in heaven. It's the one day when it's our time to go up and God says, "Yes, welcome, my faithful servant. Welcome, my daughter. Welcome, my son, who have kept my laws, who have kept my commands, who have obeyed me, who have served me. Welcome." We want to walk into that heaven, that kingdom. "Turn my eyes away from the worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promises to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precept in your righteousness. Preserve my life." We should be longing for things of God. We should be seeking God for his will, for his way, but we suffer. We go through pain because we think of selfish gain. He says, "Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Keep me, Father God, according to your will. Keep me, Father God, for your use. Keep me, Father God, because we are your servant. We are here to serve you. We are here to do your will. We are here to do your whatever it is that you call. Keep me and keep my eyes, keep my hands." Now, God, he says, keep my eyes away from worthless things, because if we don't see it, we won't want it. If we don't see it, we won't want to go touch it. If we don't see it, we won't want to go and be a part of it. So keep my eyes from seeing it, Lord. Keep them closed. Don't let me see the worthless gains of this world. Don't let me see the quick way to make money. Don't let me see the quick way that will lead me down that rabbit hole of nowhere. that will lead us down to the gutter, that will lead us right down to hell. Keep my eyes away from worthless things. Allow me to only see your glory. Allow me to hear. Allow me to feel your righteousness so that my life can be preserved. These are the prayers that we're asking God, and there's times when we're going through, we may not feel it. There's times I'm praying. There's times I'm motioning. There's times I'm going and I think, God, you know, I haven't felt you. God, you know, but I know you're dear. When God, when we don't feel the presence of God, that doesn't mean we deviate and start running wild and going places because we feel he can't see us. No. He's trusting us that even not when we're not in his presence, even when we're not doing him, even when we're not in church, we're still going to serve him. When I'm in my house, look at this 2 years that went by. I have not been in a physical church, but I've been to church. The church is within me. I've served the Lord. I've prayed. I've done many things. I built my relationship. And that's what we need to remember, even if we're not in a building, fellowshipping, or if we're not somewhere with other Christians like ourselves, that doesn't mean we're away from God. That means we are right next to him because he says he will never leave us or forsake us. He will be with us always. My final and closing reading comes from Psalm 195. Down to that. Psalm 119, verses 57 to 64. And I'm going to be reading it from the NLT. It says, Lord, you are mine. I always said to everyone, to my church sisters, to my family, we have to claim God for ourselves. I need to claim God as my own. I don't need anyone else to claim God or go and ask someone, you know, should I have a relationship with God? No. I know he is mine, and I know that I am his. We have to be confident on this. Lord, you are mine. I promise to obey your word. With all my heart, I want your blessing. Be merciful as you promise. I ponder the direction of my life, and I turn to follow your laws. If we are genuinely, genuinely following the Lord, we will take the time to think about our life. We will take the time to think about the will of God. We will take the time to seek God's face. We will go and inquire of God. We will go and spend the time that is necessary to ask God, what is it that he needs us to do in this moment, in this season, in this time frame, in this day. We will thank God. We will trust God. I ponder the direction of my life, and I turn to follow your laws. We will not worry about what the next man say or the next woman say or the next person say. Oh, Sister Undera, Minister Undera, she's not doing this. She's not. No. I am doing what God is asking me to do. I am moving according to his will. We have to be concerned about our life. And think of how God is using us. Think of how God is leading us. I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. Evil people try to drag me into sin. They're always there. Evil is always lurking around us. Problems and struggles, the enemy is always waiting to whisper in our ears when we feel uncertain. We have to ask God to block it out. We have to ask God, no, God, this is what I'm hearing, but it doesn't sound like you. It doesn't sound like something God will want for us. If it doesn't sound like God, it is not God. If it doesn't sound that whatever someone is telling us, it's the will of God, it is not. But instead of trusting them, go to God and inquire. Go seek his face. Go seek his answer. Go knock at the door and ask questions. But I am firmly anchored to your instruction. I raise at midnight. I rise, sorry, at midnight to thank you for your regulation. We thank God for justice. We thank God for his laws. We thank God for his provision. Every morning I wake up, I thank God. Every night I go to sleep, I thank God. Even when God reprimands me and I've done something wrong, I thank him. If God doesn't correct me, that's one thing I always say, God, God, correct me. If I am wrong, Father God, please let it be known. Because I cannot advance, I cannot grow if I don't know my fault. God corrected David. He accepted his correction, and he moved forward. And God reprimanded him. He accepted it, and he continued to live for the Lord. Saul could not humble himself to accept correction. He could not humble himself to accept that he did something wrong. He made excuses and he blamed others instead of taking the blame for himself. So therefore, he was led astray. Therefore, he didn't receive the forgiveness and the glory. And he kept fighting to gain it. He wanted to kill David, but God protected David. Saul lost his life. He took his own life. He took his own life. He's not even making it to judgment. He is already condemned. He says, I rise at midnight to thank you for your just regulation. I am a friend to anyone who fears you, anyone who obeys your command. Oh, Lord, your unfailing love fills the earth. Teach me your decrees. Your love fill the earth. That is powerful. God is love. And he says it fills the earth. It not just fills me or fills you. It fills the earth. So it's there for the taking for everyone. We want God's love. We want God's provision. We want God's leading. We want his will. But teach me your decrees. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you. We thank you, dear Lord, for this beautiful and glorious day. Father God, we thank you for your words. We thank you for your advancement. We thank you for your correction. We thank you, Father God, for victory. Father God, we thank you for open ears and open eyes. We thank you for boldness to speak of your will, of your righteousness, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we give you the glory because we know that we would not be here today, Father God, if it wasn't within your will. We would not be here in this moment, and we would not be here transitioning through this day if you didn't have a task for us to complete today. So thank you, Father God, for still having use for us in this earth, dear Lord. Father God, we are thanking you, Father God, for every struggle that we have went through because we know, dear Lord, we are going to come through. We're thanking you for every burden and stress, Father God, because we know you have been carrying us and you will continue to uplift us. We put our trust in you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that no matter where we are, where we stand, where our family is, Father God, that you are covering them, Father God, that you are protecting them, Father God, that your commands will go forth for protection upon their life in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we are thanking you because you are our victory. Father God, we love you, we honor you, and we exalt you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, above the heavens and the earth, you have been there from the beginning, dear Lord, and you will be there to the end of this world. Father God, and we thank you for the eternal of who you are, Father God, because one day we will be there with you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Minister Andrea. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you have given us through your servant. And we ask your mighty, awesome blessing to rest upon her, that you continue to order her steps in your word. Allow your spirit to light upon her, to lead and guide her throughout the day, every day, in the season to come. Lord, we pray now for the word that's gone forth through over the airwaves. Lord, we know it's gone to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And Father God, we are praying that it will do and accomplish what it's sent to do this day by your Spirit. In Jesus' holy name, Bishop, if you want to come on in, you can come on in now, Bishop. Thank you so much for the word, Minister. I'm there. I was listening, but I was also ministering to a family that came to the house for counseling. So, but I heard the word. Mm-hmm. Come on in, Bishop, if you are available. Well, let us open the line. Let the line open. A lot of people on the line, if you want to come on and encourage a woman of God for that mighty word. She spoke about Moses. She spoke about David. She talked about Saul. She talked about Jonah. There's a lot inside the message that you can talk about. Topic today is man suffer pain because they reject to accept the will of God. The line is open.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. The line is open for anyone that would like to add to the word, or would like to have make a comment, would like to give a testimony, whatever it is that God leads on your heart at this moment to do, please do so in Jesus' name.
Well, I just want to tell you, Ms. Andre, that it was such a powerful word. I like where you talk about Saul refusing to be obedient to the word of God and the instructions from the Lord, how he lost his kingdom. And then you talked about David. You really went in on David, how David, when he got Bathsheba pregnant and Uriah went and lost his life. And David was fasting and praying for the son because the son took sick. But he thought that God would give him back the son, let the son live, but God took the son from him because the son was conceived in sin. And then after he repented to the Lord, how the Lord allowed him to go into Bathsheba and had a sexual intercourse and she conceived. You talked about Jonah in the belly of the fish. And, you know, and this is the first time I hear anybody preach that, said Jonah was praying while he was in the belly of the fish and God caused the fish to vomit him out on the land. That was powerful. You know, God, when the people said, well, look, Jonah tell him to throw him out the boat because he's the one who caused the destruction, the disturbance. Yeah, it was just a powerful word all around. I just got to go back and listen to it because, as I said, I was counseling some people that came here to the house and, you know, going through some things, and I had to work with them for a while. But we heard. But it's hard to, when you're counseling someone and you got the headphone in, to really focus on what you're hearing in your ears very hard, because I still wanted to hear the word, and I was, and my wife, because she said, well, somebody's here to you, they want to talk to you. I said, Lord, my phone is on mute, but I can still hear on my Bluetooth. I said, well, okay. So I still had my pajamas on, so I had to get up my pajamas and then go to and talk to them, and I knew they was picking up that I was listening on the headphone because I kept looking with my head, you know, and it could tell that I was listening to the service. But it truly is a blessed word that you released on today with this. I mean, you always do. You always bring a good message. I even said it last night to Apostle Washington. I said it's going to be a good word today because Minister Andre, she's going to be talking about, she's going to talk about how men suffer because they refuse to accept God's will. I say it's a powerful topic. It's going to be good. So I enjoyed it. I got, while you're teaching, I got about 25 messages coming on my phone. I don't know if you all get these messages, but I'm going to tell you, they're getting ready to do something to the cell phones and trying to send electronic magnetic signal to the phones. So I don't know if you all have headphones or if you put your phone up next to your head, but I want to tell you that if you put your phone up next to your head,
you need to stop doing that, because these people are getting ready to take control of our mind, body, and soul. Hear what I'm telling you? They're getting ready to do some things. I got 25 messages that saying, well, I don't have a 5G, but if you got a 5G, they're going to send a signal to a 5G, this new signal that the satellite system they have. And they sent me this message. I can't believe it. I said, why? Mm-hmm. I was looking at it, and I says, Minister Andy, I was just looking, and I started deleting. I said, man, they really want to get this message through to me. They want to get this message through to me. So, because, you know, sometimes they'll send you one or two messages, but I mean over 25 messages, the same message, and telling
wow.
them be aware of something coming, this thing that they're going to be doing through the cell phones. And then it's a CD, DVD thing that they send, you know, that the recording that you can watch the video. And they're telling this sentence is telling you exactly what they're going to be doing, how they want to control the society. And they're going to control you through the phone. Even the television, they're going to send a signal over the television. You know, I said, boy, these people are wicked.
Wow.
So we know that we are in the end time.
Oh, Lord.
We know we are in the end time. And I hear somebody trying to talk. I don't know who it is. So anyway, we will.
Apostle?
They were calling. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I got on so late. I could not get on the line. I sent you a message on your home phone.
Well, your phone was on the line.
Yeah, I finally got on.
Yeah, there's something going on. I don't know what they're doing. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I see the phone, the message.
Now. Number, they give me the other number.
Yeah, something they're doing some foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to send them an email today. Send them an email and tell them, because I get trouble trying to get on. I told you all. Apostle was laughing because I'm trying to get in, and every time I dial in, they tell me, the computer says, I'm so sorry. I notice you have not dialed four of your numbers. And I'm talking to the computer. I mean, that's making me crazy because I'm saying, you lie, computer. You know, the computer can hear me. I'm telling the computer, you lie, because I dialed all the numbers. And
well,
I dialed again and tell me the same thing.
The enemy
you,
is the
you are.
You know?
Yeah, tell me, oh, you have missed two of the numbers. Then you'd miss four. Then you have not dialed three numbers. And I said, no, you're lying, computer, because I dialed all the numbers. So this is the way that the devil is, the enemy is working. So it gives me, you see me get on here, it takes me at least six or seven times to get on here in the morning. Because, you know, the more you teach the way we are teaching, the more it's going to get harder for us to get on. Because, Satan is the god of the ear. So when you get in trouble to get on, you've got to know that we're on the right track. He's the god of the ear. He's controlling what's going on.
You're not having trouble. If you're not having trouble, then there's something wrong there.
You know, they ain't teaching nothing over there. If they ain't have, you ain't having no trouble to get on, they ain't teaching nothing over there. I'm telling you. But you can come on and do a press.
I can't get it.
Yeah,
it tells me that it's full. And then they give me another number, 515, but I could not get that number. You gave it to me the other day, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's the 515-615-605-9367.
Yeah.
515-605-605.
I got it written down now. Yeah, because I called for Frazier. I couldn't get him. I called for Apostle Millie. I finally got her, and she's not doing so well today. She said she feel kind of weak. She said, I started to get on the line, but I feel so weak. I said, well, God understands. And I prayed with her for a few minutes, and said, God understands. Just take your medication and rest yourself. She said, well, I ain't ate nothing. I said, well, that could be one of your problems right there. Well, she didn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's got thyroids, a thyroid problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I'm going to have to send her some thyroid medicine. Send her some thyroid herbs. Send her some herbs for her thyroid.
Yeah, so that's
and I'll do
that. My daughter had
her. She, She never
my
told me that. I would have sent her. I would...
At the infusion. You knew about that. My daughter in
mm-hmm.
Texas. She had the infusion. Apostle Miller's daughter and her, I think it's her niece, they have to take infusions all the time. They all have iron. The iron is going out their body.
Yeah.
No, but my daughter was feeling kind of bad, so she knew, well, hey, I must need to go back to the doctor. And if you, it's the count, you know, and if you're below 10, it's not good, you know. And she was at 7. So they gave her one infusion. They gave it to her, and they told her she had to come back 3 more times. And she went back, and it went up again. So, you know, before they even give her the infusion, she said, well, hey, you know, I'd rather, you know, go back and let them give me the infusion, and, you know, and I'll be all right for a while. I don't know.
Well, they're going to have to really, they're going to have to go on the strict thyroid herbs and clean the system out and then let God do the rest. Anyway, but you can come on and do a prayer of salvation because somebody might hear that after they hear this word and receive Jesus today. And you know, somebody might just
called.
Give their life to God.
That's right. Mm-hmm. My son in Texas called. I was on the phone with him. You know, they're doing well, but he said he's the only one in the family that got the shot, and now he's worried. None of them have it, you know. So he said, now I'm worried about it. I said, what you worried about? You know, he said, in 10 years, I don't know what it's going to be like. I said, don't worry about it. 10 years. That's the future, you know. And just, you got it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. You know, that little thing I heard on, I think it came from the Panda movie or something. I heard the newscaster said that be on CNN. He said, that's one of the most inspiring things he ever heard. He said, don't worry about your past. That's exactly what it is, your past. You can't do nothing about
that.
And
that's
your
right.
future, you don't know. You got to live in the present. We live in right now, so this is where we are in the present. You don't know where your future is. Who knows when the Lord will require your soul? Mm-hmm. Only God.
And look at our past, what we just went through. No one knew that was a part of our future, but we prevailed through it. And we just have to keep trusting God and, you know, whatever provision
Amen.
Is set forth. If it's good,
Amen.
God will put it in our spirit that it's good, and we just trust him to continue to pave the way for us.
Well, they've been telling me all kinds of stuff at the VA hospital. And I said, okay, you say I got that? All right. I'm not receiving it, but, you know. You say I got it, okay? Are you going to increase my pay or what? You know, you going to help me out just financially? I'm not worried. I got God. I got Jesus himself. Son of God, I got you. All right. And Minister, there are the parts that I did hear you say because my son called right in the middle of it. I hadn't been on too long. And I hadn't heard from him in a while. So he called to find out about his mother. But I enjoyed just hearing your voice come across. It's been a while.
It has, amen.
It's been a while. You sound very, very good. Very good.
Thank you. I tried calling you guys, I think it was last week, but I don't know which is the correct number. But I know Mommy did reach out and say she'll get some time.
Did you call the 707 number?
I did the 78 number, and then I did the 5 number. But I did receive a text back from her. I think it may have been Thursday. And she did say when she gets some time, she'll reach out to me. So no rush. You know,
okay.
I just wanted to make sure. You guys, I wasn't on last
work.
Because I had to take my daughter to camp. She is away at camp, so. Have to take
her. All right. Okay, Mommy. you get the teenage girl now.
I told you, she just turned 13 on July 15th. I'm playing every single
I knew,
day.
I knew she had become a teenager. You know?
Yep.
Now you're in for it. You know that, huh?
Yep. No, don't
you
say
that.
yeah,
you have fun. You gonna have to say it. Look, I'm ordering this online. I can't go through shopping centers again. No.
She's away at this camp that teaches children to be leaders and just how to come into their own. And it's a really good program, but you know she's gone for a while, so you know I've had a few panic attacks during the week, and I woke up at 4:30 in the morning praying to God and asking God to cover her. But I know she's covered, and you know they're not allowed to take their cell phone. So every day, well, I mean, I pray for her every day, but of course, it's even
can't
added
take
on.
Cell phone.
No, you can't take
that's
any
good.
Type of equipment.
Because
yeah.
You know, if you need communications with them, you know, an office something that you can contact.
Yes, so there is an office number that you could call, and I understand why there's no phone, because we have to be there Saturday at 12 o'clock. So when we were up there at 12 last Saturday, the location is in Ashby, Mass. I don't know if it's possible in that area, but it's past Fitchburg, and there's no network. So when we went up there, our phones were dead. So there's no need. But they do have an office phone that you could call and get in contact in. You can't, you know, not really talk to the kids, but you can talk to the counselors and check to see how they're doing.
Yeah. Well, it's better for training purposes because they won't get distracted by, you know, oh, hey,
correct.
How you doing? Blah, 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 blah.
You know, the kids nowadays just sit on the phone and they're on the internet and they don't do anything. So it's good, you know, to get them back into nature and to, you know, just to understand and, you know, real life.
Well, I know that's right. I said something when I was a school bus driver. See, these kids go have the strongest thumbs in the world. They sit there and their thumbs is working, you know. They have stronger muscles in the thumb than they have in the biceps and the triceps.
I tell
you. Tell you.
When you look at it, even the youngest of youngest, like 6 months, 1 year, they know more about technology than we. Like, I don't know much about it.
Oh, I know. I don't know that part. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
No, I was going to say our little boy, daughter, son, Claude. You know, you heard in the talk about Claude. The boy is now about 6 feet. And he's not just for the birthday until the 30th November. He'll be 16. I think by the time he makes 16, 6'3", 6'4", or something. And he's constantly getting taller.
Wow.
And he's been tall, but you know, from when he was a little kid, he started growing all of a sudden. But then his mama's tall and his daddy's tall. So,
wow.
So, you know, you can kind of expect that, but I don't know.
So he'll be
like,
going to college soon, huh?
Huh?
He's going to college soon. 16?
No. Their school, they've been doing virtual, but now he's getting ready to go back in actual classes now. He was in junior high, but now he's going to go into high school. You know,
the
but I'm saying
he's only
going to be 16 years old and he's that tall.
Wow, that's
so
amazing.
You know, like by the time he's 18, 19 years old, he might be a 7-footer. I know that. But you look at some of the people, you know, that's playing basketball nowadays. You know, Jesus, how you get that tall? You know,
you're right.
I used to work with a guy. And he was the shortest one in his family. And he was 6'9".
Are you serious?
Can you believe
that?
I'm very serious. His mama was 6'9 and a half. His mama was taller than he is. You know, but 6'9", he's the shortest one in the family. You know, I said, man, when you walk and duck to get under a door, that's bad. I had a cousin who was 6'7", and he used that so that you don't have to to get through the doorway. So it's 6'9", you know. That's good and it's bad because if you happen to be running and don't realize how high something is, you could get injured. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's bumped your head a couple of times. Uh-oh.
And don't think about, you know, your clothes, that you have to buy your clothes and your shoes.
Oh, Lord.
Wow.
Well, I don't know. His mama went to see for some shoes for him out there. I don't know if she got him or not, but I think he's in a size 13 now.
Wow. That's wow.
Yeah, that's my grandfather used to say about my brother. He wore 13 shoes. He said, "Boy, you know, you got a lot of understanding. You know, I can't get so you got to stand under him."
Amen.
13 shoes. Good Lord. I don't know if I'd be able to walk with a 13 shoe.
Oh. That's
yes,
a lot.
I can. In some shoes, I have to get a 12. But it's just so good to hear. Let me do this for salvation right quick and draw somebody to the Father. Hallelujah. Now, for those who have strayed from the faith or just got away just a little bit, it's time to come back home, brothers and sisters. Prodigals, come back home. And for you who have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, here is your opportunity. Clearly us in the book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. And the word of God says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ. And also in the book of Romans, chapter 3 at 23, and you know, God knew that we were going to be sinners. He knew we're only made of dust. And for God knew for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. The gift of life, the gift of eternal life is through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And in the book of Romans, chapter 3, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I've got to hear to myself by whole scripture. Hallelujah. And salvation is made in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. And the word of God says, but what does it say? The word is in you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if, and here's confession in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It says right there, you will be saved. All right? Verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall means you will. There's no other way. You shall be saved. Hallelujah. Call on the name of the Lord. Now your next step is baptism. If you've never been baptized, this is the way we baptize. But the same with the book of Acts, go through Acts as the apostles did, Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 41. And Peter said unto them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the redemption of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the promises to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call, and he will call us all. And with many other words, he testified and encouraged them, saying, save yourself from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. I'm asking to everyone in the sound of my voice, if you've never been baptized before, first of all, repent. Once you make that confession, repent. And the first thing it says, And then Peter said to them to repent in the book of repent. You must repent and not returning to the previous way that you were living. Don't go back to that evil way. You're saved now. Your slate is clean. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Now, if you don't have a Bible, I suggest that you get yourself a good Bible, like the NLT, New King James, King James, Logos Bible, English Standard Version. There's many, several good Bibles. Take your time, read scriptures, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you where he wants you to go, and read your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to explain to you what he's trying to say. There's some way that the Holy Spirit is going to tell you audibly, or someone will come along and it just blurt out something, and you have to understand right there. He's going to get the message too. If you just ask, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and shall be open unto you. So I urge you today to accept Jesus as your Savior. If you haven't already done it, don't fail to do it and speak it out loud. Let the enemy know. You know, you can inject thoughts in my head, but you can't read what I'm thinking. So I'm letting you know that I have received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Say it out loud. Invite people to your baptism. And it doesn't have to be anyone you know, but it's great to invite family members, neighbors, friends, co-workers, strangers on the street, even enemies. Invite them. And by doing so, they may accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that soul or souls will have credit to your account for drawing the soul unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And there is no other way except through Jesus Christ. So in the book of Acts, at chapter 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. So congratulations to everyone who has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior today, and all the brothers and sisters who were prodigal sons and daughters, I'm so happy that you've come back home. I'm going to speak that you did rededicate your life to Christ Jesus, because we never know. We never know when our soul will be required. So please, do it for yourself, do it for me, do it for everybody on Block Talk Radio. We're all praying that you will accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And we're hoping and praying that you do. God bless each and every one of you, and Apostle is back to you, sir.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
I'll get kind of carried away there.
I didn't hear you.
Without the book, I'll get kind of carried away. I have it on my tablet, but sometimes I don't have the tablet charged, or I won't have it with me, and I'll stumble and bumble through it. But I pretty much know all the scriptures, you know.
Amen.
I've learned them. You know, thank God. He's teaching me.
I need to learn
everything.
Them myself.
What, the confession?
Yeah, because I don't know them fully, but you know, it's very good to learn them.
It's really short. Confession really is the ninth verse. That's where you can confess. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, "Died for our sins, and God has raised him from the dead." And if you believe that, you're saved. Your slate
mm-hmm.
is clean. If you drop dead right there, you know, even if you don't get baptized, you're saved. You believe that. You truly believe it. And of course, if you drop dead, you have to be repentant because you just confessed. You know,
mm-hmm.
but hey, it's not dropping dead. It's just crossing over from this side to the other side. Not on this bank of the river, on the best bank. Best bank, yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to tell Apostle Linda that you were on the line today. She's over at my daughter's house, and the reception over there on phones are terrible. House phones are bad, and cell phones are even worse. And they're only like 3 minutes from us. But there's a weather station there, and I think it's between the tower and where that subdivision is, because, you know, everybody that lives in that subdivision has a problem. You know, and people that I know, you know, have a problem with the cell phones. So, you know, a couple that used to bowl with me were in my league. They would pick me up and bring me, you know, and they'd call me on the cell phone when they were all the way there, because sometimes they'd call from the house phone and couldn't get in touch. So when they almost here to pick me up, you know, they'd come, hey, we're turning on your street now, and I can hear them fine.
Yeah, that's like my mom's house. There's certain parts of her house that you can't get any signal at all. Like, you hardly have a bar.
It's weird how, you know, if the towers, you know, the way they have the tower set up, I don't see why they don't, because they're halfway to the moon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have so many towers all over. You know, I think maybe that's what it is. They have too many. They're crisscrossing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And who knows? The phone companies might, you know, they may have more towers than others. They're doing it for competition, so you can come to their, you know, to their services. You can, you know, buy their products. I don't know. It's just
well,
a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Tell her we'll speak when I see her, when she gets time.
Okay. All right.
Tell her I love her and everything.
We have your number. See, we've been using my phone for Lord. Her phone is now pretty close to 6 years. So she can't really complain about that phone. So she really can't. I got mine in 21. My phone in December is going to be 4 years old. You know, and I told her, I'm going to need a new phone. She's been saying that, hey, I'm going to order me a new phone. Only 6 or 7 months. You know, she said, I don't need it because I got your phone. I said, that's true. I'm here in the house, and you're going with our daughter. You're going with somewhere with her. You have my phone. She has her phone. My son-in-law has his phone. And she's got mine. I'm here with no phone. So wait, why not leave me with my phone? That's all right. If she won't get one, I'll get one for me and give her this old one since she likes old phones. No, I'm not going to do that. She needs a new phone. She really does. AT&T has got this thing. I don't know what company you with, but AT&T has got this. T-Mobile? I told her go to T-Mobile when my granddaughter went there. You know, and she doesn't have any trouble, and now they move in Texas, and she still don't have trouble with her phone.
Yeah.
She got an ISL, and they don't have trouble. But people were saying, hey, T-Mobile's not good and everything.
No, they're actually good. T-Mobile's good, and Metro PC is good. You know, I mean, I don't have Metro PC, but my sister lives in Texas, and we went to visit her 2 weeks ago.
But,
and
you know, T-Mobile bought them. Metro
PC. Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Huh?
So they're all affiliated now. But I think the service is really good. And the phones are great.
I keep telling her that. What type of
phone
do you
have? And the price is cheaper. AT&T tend to be very pricey, but, you know, some people like them more. But T-Mobile is very
good. I have an AT&T phone, but the service is really good. If you've got a problem, they go fix it, you know. You know, even if your insurance ran out, you tell them, hey, this phone is not supposed to be doing this, that, and other. No. And they have tight security. I forgot my password, and I couldn't get in my own phone. You know? I said, oh, this is ridiculous. Finally, the guy started asking me all kinds of questions, you know. Say, well, you know, this, that, and other. I said, look. All I can tell you is my mother was born in 1922 and my father was born in 1921. Now, how they come about you'd have to ask my grandparents, who are all gone along with my parents. So I don't know. You're asking me all these security questions, you know. They're asking me stuff like, what was your best friend's name in high school? Who told you I went to, you know? I ask you, what was the first car you ever had? I do it easy. What was the first car? I say Ford. A Ford. What kind of Ford? A Ford. What kind of Ford? I say a Ford Fairlane. Okay. All right. The first car I had was an Oldsmobile. But I didn't let them know. You know, no, Ford, that's not your business, you know. So I remember that. And what was your best friend's name in high school? I said, the same one who's my best friend now, that when we were in the Cub Scouts together. He's still my best friend.
Amen.
Yep. Oh, poor fella, I feel bad for him. He lost this. And I didn't even know. I stayed 23 minutes from New Orleans. And his wife died in 2013. And I found out last year. I lost contact with it because his phone number changed. Couldn't get him. But the thing about it is, he didn't know that my brother had died in 2013. It was hard to believe that. But things happen like that. You never know.
Yeah.
We all have to cross the valley.
Yeah.
But remember, we walk through the valley of the shadow.
Amen.
No. It's the word. The key word is through. We walk through it, you know.
Amen.
We walk through that valley. Oh, Lord, shut up, James. Preach. good to hear from you, Minister Dara. And baby girl. Oh, can't call her baby girl anymore.
She I still call her baby girl. Baby. She is doing well.
Well, I got one on the 8th of August. It's going to be 49 years old, and it's baby girl from day one.
I tell you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the one used to drive the tractor trailers.
Okay.
All 4 foot 11 of them. 4 foot 11.
Wow, that's amazing.
A 54-foot tractor trailer. I said, girl.
Wow.
Minister, this child told me when she was 5 years old. I said, what you want for your birthday? She said, a dump truck. I said, girls don't have dump trucks. Yeah, what you going to do with that toy? She said, oh, no toy. I want a real one. I said, what you going to do with
it? Oh, wow.
You can't even, 5 years old, you can't even see the steering wheel. I mean, you're looking right into the
tank. I saw you,
Huh?
I said, right. You can't even see the steering wheel versus over the steering wheel.
I mean, you can sit on the seat, and all you can see is the center hub for the dashboard. You can't see out the windshield at all, but she wanted a dump truck. She didn't want the toy one. I'm sorry. She told me, no, I want a real one. I said, well, if you got $40,000 to $50,000, you can get one, baby. No problem. But your daddy is not going to buy a dump truck. But she's now not driving the tractor trailer. She wanted that training. And she drove, to California one day. She was in Philadelphia. And, you know, the next day she was like in in Wyoming or something. I said, why you pick all the snow places? She said, I got to go where they send us.
Yeah, you do. My nephew used to do it, yeah.
Yeah. I said, I know. But it's so much easier than when, you know, I wasn't driving the trucks, but friends of mine was.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much easier now. But anyway, she's now doing the garbage disposal. But what do they call these things? Recycling. She's driving
recycling. Okay.
Yeah, and it's local. Her job is 7 minutes from my house.
Oh wow!
And you ever see two guys that, mm-hmm. that work on the truck?
Mm-hmm.
One of them's about 5'9", 5'11", the other one's about 6'1", and she's 4'11", she's driving the truck.
Okay. Yeah, she's good. That's good. That's amazing.
Yep.
That's a lot of strength, too, because, you know, you have to have strength and manage those big trucks as you're turning the wheel. So,
I'll tell you what. Believe it or not, those trucks are not hard to turn. The steering wheels are bigger, but the power steering units in them, when I was driving mm-hmm. city buses, we had the old buses, now the old General mm-hmm. Motors buses, mm-hmm. and the first thing they trained us is to do the push-pull to turn. I said, why push-pull? And the instructor said, believe what I'm telling you, do the push-pull. I said, okay, I'm going to look like an old man. You know, and as soon as I got on my own, you know, I did the push-pull, you know, push with your right hand, you go turn left, push up with your right, pull down with your left, push-pull, push-pull. You know, I said, man, I'm going to get around this thing like I turn my steering wheel is about, I'd say maybe an inch from the windshield, and it caught my hand. I said, I know why they told me to do the push-pull. I never did the way I turned my car. I never did that mm-hmm. anymore. You know, when you get your finger caught, it's been your hand really. You get it caught between the windshield and that steering wheel. You learn quickly. Hey, push.
I know. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh Lord, mm-hmm. let me let you get off this line. Yeah, because
Evangelist is on the line. Apostle
on the
is on
line.
The line. Evangelist
okay.
on the line. Apostle on the line. Deacon on the line. Sister
oh,
Anna on the
there.
Line. Other people on the line. I want to open the line, see if anybody else wants to come on and say anything. If not, we're going to have a minister on their prayer for healing. A lot of people are sick right now. A lot of people are going through. And my baby got facing some things, but we are not taking them to heart. We are breaking them to the throne. My baby has some bad reports. She has some bad reports, but we are taking them to the throne. And I want you to pray for my friend, my friend from Trinidad.
Oh,
I want you to pray for her.
Died?
She died. My friend from. She ain't died.
Oh, I thought you said someone died.
No, she ain't died. She ain't died. If she had died, I'd be dead already. If she had died, I'd be dead too, because you wouldn't hear my voice. Got it? I'd be dead too.
Oh, yeah.
You
wouldn't. That's not her fortune.
No. She just had some bad reports and she got to go through some serious testing and stuff. But we just believe in God. But my friend from Trinidad, I need you to pray for her. She's Josie. And pray for her that God just answer her cry. And I pray for Apostle Washington. Pray for Evangelist Prophetess Millie. Pray for Apostle Millie.
Yeah.
Pray for Apostle Stuart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. Pray for their ministry.
Oh.
Pray for their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Thanks.
Prayer. See, there's a lot going on right now and a lot happening. We, the church, we got to stand guard. This is the time. The Bible is opening to us, and God is saying for us to stand guard. And we can't just stand guard and play. I was just talking to somebody. It says, we got to stop playing patty cake with the devil. Because we got a job, because we got a house, we got a car, we got a husband, we got a wife, we got children. No, you got to start fighting. The Bible said the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. We got to stop playing with Satan like he is some little pet toy. No, he is a real devil. Mm-hmm. He's a demon that come to kill, steal, and to destroy. And we got to pray with power. We got to pray with authority, because that's the only way. Jesus didn't ever tell the demon, oh, just come on out of him. Come on and go get some ice cream. Oh, come on, I'll give you a lollipop. Jesus didn't talk to the demon like that. He said, come out. Call him out. Tell the demon, come out with force. And the demon had to honor the authority that he was hearing. A lot of time we just want to talk to Satan like he's our friend. He's not our friend. He is our enemy. Mm-hmm. He's the enemy of the body of Christ. So
yes,
if nobody just want to share, minister on there, just go on in prayer and let the Lord use you, and then we'll close out and get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
The line should be on tomorrow. If somebody's going to bring the word tomorrow, I don't know who won it, because I'm going to do some work tomorrow. I'm going over to the house and do some work tomorrow.
You better rest yourself, Apostle. As soon as you start feeling a little better, you go push yourself again.
I got to go over there tomorrow. I was resting yesterday and today, so I will go over there tomorrow. And, you know, I got everything real tight right now. The heavy stuff is almost finished. Yeah. And I got to get this thing going. Anyway, come on, someone go on and pray, Minister Andy, and let the Lord use you. Let the Lord use you for that powerful word you released today into somebody's heart. Because there's a lot of people on the line, but, you know, nobody's. And as the pastor said, we're not going to ask people to share anymore. After today, I'm not going to ask anyone after today. And it's the truth. God leads me this way. I'm not going to beg nobody to come on and exhort Christ's name. If people want to share, if they want to pray, they'll come on in prayer. Otherwise, when we finish the sermon, we are going to pray. As the Lord leads us, we're going to pray and we're going to close out the line. Because I'm tired of begging people to give God glory.
Yeah, this evening after I'm done off the line here, I'm heading to a church praise service that they're having at 6. So I'll be heading towards Mattapan.
Glory to
God.
I
haven't been to one in like almost 2 years, so I'm like, God, thank you for this opportunity.
Yes.
Amen. All right, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, dear Lord, thanking you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Father God, we thank you for this blessed day. Father God, we thank you for everyone that is on the line today, Father God. We thank you for those that were able to share, and for those that are not able to share, Father God, we thank you for them as well. Father God, we thank you because we know that they are here with us in heart, Father God. And we ask you, dear Lord, to continue to shine your light before us. Father God, we're calling upon you, dear Lord, to uplift Sister Nancy, Father God, Apostle Washington, Father God, Sister Millie, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Apostle's friend in Barbados, in the mighty name of Jesus. We are asking you, Father God, for healing. I'm even including my mother, Father God, and Mr. Cody, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We're asking you, Father God, because according to your word, you said that you will restore health unto us, Father God, and you will heal our wounds, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. So we're asking you, Father God, to restore good health unto us, Father God. Restore good health upon them, Father God. Strengthen their bodies internally and externally, Father God. Strengthen their spirits, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. That your work will go forth, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We're asking you for a miraculous turnaround in the mighty name of Jesus. We're asking you to cleanse blood, Father God, to cleanse organs, Father God, to cleanse liver, Father God, to cleanse sin, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Wherever there is sickness, Father God, wherever there is a breakdown, Father God, we're asking you to build up. Father God, your word says that you will nurse us, Father God, when we are sick, Father God, and restore us back to health in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, you are our doctor. You are our king. You are our nurse. You are our medicine in the mighty name of Jesus. We are putting our trust in you, Father God, for a miraculous turnaround, for a praise report unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. We're thanking you, Father God, because you have went before them in the mighty name of Jesus. You have given them victory, Father God, over sickness, victory over
over doubt, victory over pain,
Lord.
Victory over suffering in the mighty name of
Jesus.
Father God, victory in all areas in the mighty name of Jesus. Wherever, dear Lord, there is a darkness, wherever, dear Lord, the enemy is trying to work at, Father God, expose them and bring light, Father God. Use the doctors, use the nurses, Father God, to bring out wherever there is any type of sickness, Father God, and give us the solution that is necessary, Father God, for you will restore health unto them. You will restore peace in their bodies. You will restore victory, Father God, in their organs in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, where the enemy has failed, they have won, dear Lord, they have failed. They have failed miserably, Father God, because you have super exceeded every work of the enemy. You have been, Father God, the creator of all things from all time, and you, dear Lord, is the one that created us internally, externally, Father God. So you know how our organs work, Father God. You know how the blood flows, Father God. So we're asking you, dear Lord, to flow, to cleanse out, to flush, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Wherever there is pain, Father God, in any one of your bodies at this moment, Father God, we're asking you to put your hands, dear Lord. Let your mighty hands be upon them. Let your mighty hands be a soothing, warm feeling of love, Father God, to give them that peace and that rest that is necessary, dear Lord. Father God, you said not to fear, Father God. Father God, your word says not to fear, to trust in you.
Yes,
so, Father
Jesus,
God, they walk boldly into the doctors today. They walk boldly into the doctors tomorrow, not fearing what is about to say, because you have the final say. Father God, there is no fear in their bodies. Expose and expel
fear
from
Lord,
out of
Jesus.
Their mind. Father God, let their faith be bigger than their fear in the mighty name of Jesus, because we trust in you, because they
themselves trust
in you in the mighty name of Jesus.
You,
we join faith together for them. Father God, you have broken the chains. You have broken the chains that is trying to hold them down.
You have broken the chains
in their mind that allow them to stop believing.
Jesus.
Father God, they will be restored mentally.
Jesus,
they will be restored
Lord.
Emotionally. They will be restored physically. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, let your healing pour out, Father God. Father God, you said that I shall be healed. They shall be healed. They shall be saved, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And they will give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we are thanking you because your healing is permanent. We're thanking you because this is just a walk through the park. We're thanking you, Father God, because this will be a testimony and a shout of praise. And hallelujah praise. Father God, you
Thank
have
you,
done
Lord.
It for many others, Father God, and we know you are
yes,
not going to fail us. You said that you will be with us, Father God. You will never forsake
yes,
us, Father God.
Yes,
Father God, their
house
will rejoice. With praise.
In the mighty name
their
of Jesus.
Yes,
Lord.
No matter how many times we go
through, Father God, we know that we're going to get through.
We know that we're going to be
in
victorious
the
in
Jesus.
The mighty name
yes,
of Jesus.
Lord.
Because we trust you. We trust
we
you, Father
God. Yes,
in the mighty name
Lord.
Of Jesus. I know you have
Jesus.
Heard our prayers. I know, Father God, that you have
Jesus.
Seen our tears. And you will count our tears,
yes,
Father
Lord.
God.
Yes,
you
Lord.
Will dry up your tears, Father God.
Yes,
you will
Lord.
Put a
Thank
smile
you for
in your body,
hearing,
Father
Lord
God.
Jesus.
You will put a smile on
yes,
your face,
Jesus.
Father God.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus, their
oh,
hands are lifted
you,
up
Lord
to you.
Jesus.
Father God, we stand in the gap
we
for
thank
those
you,
that are
Lord
throughout this world, on this line,
we
in the mighty
you,
name
Lord
of Jesus.
Jesus.
Father God, you have saved us through COVID, and nothing else will
thank
take us out,
you,
Father
Lord
God. If
Jesus.
You have brought us this far, you will take us further in
Hallelujah,
the mighty name
Jesus.
Of Jesus. We're thanking you for the favorable report.
Thank you,
we're
Lord.
We're thanking you for the favorable victories in the mighty name
yes,
of Jesus.
Jesus.
We call them blessed. We call healing
yes,
upon
Lord.
Sister Nancy. We call healing upon Apostle Washington.
Yes,
we call healing upon Cynthia Joseph. We call healing upon
yes,
Harry Cody. We call healing upon Apostle's
yes,
friends in the
Jesus.
Mighty name of Jesus. In Barbados, Father
yes,
God, you can
Jesus,
reach
yes,
that no
Jesus,
man can
Jesus,
reach
Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus. You are
Hallelujah,
everywhere.
Jesus.
Father
oh,
God, you are with us, Father God. In our
Thank
dark
you,
situation,
Jesus.
You're with us. In our life situation. situation you are
Thank
with.
Thank you,
Father,
Jesus.
Lord, we give you glory. We give you praise because you
glory,
are our victory.
Lord.
You have created
praise
us from the beginning
Jesus.
Of time, Father God. And everything
Jesus.
We need, you shall supply. They
Jesus.
Are in need of your healing. They are in need of your victory. They are
oh,
in need of restoration in their bodies, Father God. Stabilities
Thank
in their
you,
bodies,
Lord.
Father God. Flow full body organs, dear Lord,
yes,
in the mighty name
Jesus.
Of Jesus. My Lord, I know you have
Jesus.
Done it.
Yes,
Father God, you said that you will carry us. Father
yes,
God, you said that you
Lord
will carry
Jesus.
Our burdens. Wherever they are feeling burdened,
yes,
wherever
Lord
they are
Jesus.
Feeling worried, Father God, you said, come to me.
Yes,
and then it's
Lord
lay
Jesus.
Your burdens at my feet, for I love you. Father God,
yes,
you love
Lord
us, dear
Jesus.
Lord. You care for us, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Wherever they are feeling burdened in
Thank
their shoulders,
you, Lord.
Wherever they are feeling burdens in their back, wherever
Thank
they're feeling
you, Lord,
burdens
Jesus.
In their arms, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, we're asking you for healing.
Yes,
healing from
Jesus.
Cancer. Healing, Father God, from
yes,
failed organs.
Jesus.
Healing from diabetes. Miraculous healing.
Yes,
high
yes,
blood
yes,
pressure
yes,
in the mighty
yes.
name of Jesus. Give us the
yes,
knowledge
Lord.
That we need. Give us the knowledge
Thank
that we
you,
need.
Lord.
In
yes,
the mighty
Lord.
Name of Jesus, we
Give
call
us,
upon
Lord,
you.
Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus,
yes,
you said
Lord.
Everything
yes,
that we
Lord.
Ask in your name, it shall come to pass.
Yes, that you honor,
will
Lord
give.
Jesus.
My
honor
will give.
Honor
in
all
the
praise,
mighty
oh
name
God.
Jesus.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Yes,
Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus.
There's no one
yes,
greater
Lord,
than you,
in the
Father
mighty
God.
Name of Jesus.
There's no one
yes,
greater
Jesus.
Than you, and we put our trust.
Yes,
we put
no
your
one,
trust
Lord.
In you, Father God. That
no one, Lord Jesus.
All that we need, dear Lord.
Yes,
just
Lord
trust
Jesus.
In you. Trust in you, dear Lord, in the
thank
mighty name
you,
of
Lord.
Jesus. And we thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord will heal. The Lord
Thank
will deliver.
Lord.
The Lord will save. In the
Thank
mighty name
you,
of Jesus, we are thanking you.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, you have heard
Thank
us.
You, Lord.
You have heard our cries. You say, don't fear.
Thank
continue
you, Lord.
To trust in you. Continue to trust in you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust in you and we know
Thank
that
you, Lord
our
Jesus.
Healing is permanent. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For I
Thank
will restore
you, Lord Jesus.
Your health. That is your word. You will restore
Thank
our
you, Lord
health.
Jesus.
You will restore our peace. You will restore
Thank you, Lord
our
Jesus.
Joy. You will restore the smiles
yes,
and the
Jesus.
Victory and the certainty in their hearts in the mighty name of Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
thank you. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
You have come in many years before. You have brought the lame to walk, Father God. You have brought the dead to rise, dear Lord. You have cast the blind to see, dear Lord. So we know this victory of healing. You are able to do it. If you can bring Lazarus, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, back from the dead, just by speaking
Jesus.
It, dear Lord, we know, dear Lord,
Jesus.
That you can do this. We know, dear Lord,
Jesus.
That you trust you, that you will give them the victory, the report, Father
Hi,
God,
Lord.
And say, God
yes,
has done it.
Yes, Lord.
Thy kingdom
yes, Lord.
Come, thy will be done in the mighty name of Jesus. On
yes, Jesus.
Father God, we give you the glory because we know you have healed them. Not just one, Father God, but we're asking you for a final healing in the mighty name of Jesus. That this that they go through will be no more.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. We thank
Jesus
you for your
Lord.
Permanency.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Father God.
Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We thank
Jesus.
You, Father God.
Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you.
Jesus.
We thank you, and we honor you. In Jesus',
Jesus.
Name, glorious, merciful, and powerful name, we pray and make our request. In Jesus'
Yes, Lord.
Name.
Thank you so much, Minister Andre, for allowing the Lord to use you in that wonderful, powerful prayer. We know God has heard the prayer, and we know that we will hear great results, great reports. We pray, God, blessings over you, that God return to you a hundredfold for all that you have poured out. And now, Father, we leave this line, but not your presence, oh God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have said and done through your servant, all that you has poured out into the atmosphere. And we thank you yesterday that even as the line did not allow me to come in, which cut me and Pastor James, Bishop James and I was conversating on the outside of the line. We thought we was on the line, but we thank God that we had time to fellowship with each other. And we thank God for those that kept on praying while we was off the line. I listened to it last night. It was wonderful to hear the people praying last night. We got blessing off to those that held up the banner and prayed and intercede. We were in good hands at the time. As always, in the hand of the Lord is the best place to be. Lord, we ask now as we leave this line, but not your presence, Lord, that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, O God. And Lord, we pray even as we sow seeds into Ghana now and into India and into Nairobi, Kenya, Lord, that folks will begin to sow into these places where the poor are starving, hungry, and naked. Lord, we ask, God, that you test the hearts and minds of people all over, that they'll begin to sow. Lord, we are working so that we can sow. Lord God, we are doing what we are doing. Lord, we don't even have to go back out because we are retired. But, Lord, we are going out now so that we can have the funds to help those that are less fortunate than us, that we can help the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, and the orphans, oh God. We pray right now, God, that you continue to watch over us as we leave this line, but not your presence, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Father, you have heard the praise of the righteous, and you said the praise of the righteous availeth much. We ask you to watch over all those that we have called out their names and those that have been lifted before you this day, Lord God. Watch over all ministries near and far, O God, and those that are doing double standard in ministries, Lord, we ask you to convict them that they might come in and begin to live right and be right before you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that people will see your light shining through them and begin to glorify the Father in heaven. We ask you to watch over the President of the United States of America, the Vice President, the Congress, the Senators, the Supreme Court Justice Department, the Police Department, the Fire Department, the Plumber, the Electrician, the Painter, the Housewife, oh God, the Single Mother, the Single Father. Oh, we ask you to watch over our sons and daughters, our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Lord. We ask you to keep a watchful eye as the pedophiles and the sex traffickers and they are busy in this earth, grand Lord. But Lord, I know you're busier because you're keeping a watchful eye. And we praise you, we glorify you, and we honor you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. Have a blessed evening. Remember Deacon Fraser's on Friday nights and Saturday nights. If you get a chance, go on and support him. God bless you all. And have a blessed evening. Be safe. Be safe. Remember, people are doing a lot of dangerous things out there. Now the thing that they're doing now is that they're hurting people who are walking their dogs in the evening after the sun goes down. They're stabbing people, stabbing the dog and all that stuff. So if you got to go out and walk your pet, be careful. If you don't even have a pet and you got to go outside after the sun goes down, be watchful. Pay attention to your surroundings. The life you save may be your life, okay? God bless you. I love you. But remember, God loves you more. In Jesus' name,
amen.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Thank
God
you so
bless
much.
You. Love you.
Love you more. God bless. Bye-bye.